Clare. Now, as we speak this morning, the Cabinet is discussing legislation which will provide workers with a legal right to request remote working from their employer. The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said the new draft law will also enable an employee to appeal a refusal of remote working to the Workplace Relations Commission. However, the Taoiseach went on to say the legislation would not guarantee workers a right to remote working. Well, I'm joined on the line by John Barry, who's member of the National Council of the Association of Irish and Small and Medium Enterprises, and also Sinn Féin spokesperson on workers' rights, enterprise, trade and employment, Louise O'Reilly. You're both very welcome to the programme. And Louise, can I start with you? Because you say that workers should have the right to remote working. There are simply, though, some people who will have to be in their place of work to do their job.
Oh, there are many, many jobs, Claire, that can't be done remotely. We all know them. We can list them off, and certainly, frontline healthcare workers, people who are cleaning, supply chain management, all of these things require people to be on site. However, where it is possible, and we have seen what is I would call nearly a revolution in working in the last 2 years, and it happened very quickly, but where that has been seen to work and work effectively, I think what workers need is the right to have their requests reasonably considered under a robust framework. And let's hope it doesn't end up at the WRC, because there's a wait at the moment of 11 to 15 months to get into the WRC at this stage, by which point a huge amount of time will have been lost. So the government have an opportunity today, when they publish their legislation, to make it robust enough so that requests, reasonable requests, will be facilitated and that disputes will be held at an absolute minimum. But merely giving workers the right to ask, which they have at the moment, is not going to be enough. So we haven't seen the legislation, and I want to stress that, but what we have heard from the Taoiseach, who, as we all know, is no stranger to leaking stuff, we know so far that all it's going to contain is the right to ask. But workers have the right to ask. Now, what we need is a system that recognises that remote working is a specific form of work. It has with it its own terms and conditions, and it should be facilitated to the maximum extent possible so that it is a positive examination of those requests that we're looking for, as is the case with other forms of leave, such as parental leave.
Yeah, the government, though, the Taoiseach is not alone in supporting this, and the government has already said, and Michael McGrath there speaking on his way into Cabinet as well, addressing this, saying that the government does not want things to go back the way they are. I mean, do you think what they're proposing will go far enough?
No, I don't. And I'm basing this, as I've said, we know the Taoiseach's form with leaking. So all we have are leaks. We haven't seen the legislation, and I'm hopeful that that will be published today. But I know this government and I know their form, and I wouldn't necessarily trust them to do right by workers or indeed by employers in some instances. So I think what we need to see is we need to see the legislation published. We need to have scrutiny at the level of the Enterprise and Employment Committee, and we need to talk to stakeholders and talk to people about how this is going to work. It's unfortunate, though, Claire, that we're having this conversation when, yesterday was the day that the phased return to work, as announced by the government on Friday, was due to happen. There was a lot of time lost when, these arrangements could have been put in place for workers so that they'd have some sort of certainty. And I know all weekend I've been fielding calls from constituents and indeed from workers all over the country who are saying to me they're not sure where they stand. Their boss wants them back. They think they can work from home, but there isn't at this stage a framework under which that can be evaluated. So there's a lot of workers who are going to be going into work this week who maybe don't need to. There's employers who don't know where they stand in terms of what they can ask for. And every single study and survey that I have seen conducted either by workers' representative groups or by employers say that workers favour a hybrid model, and that needs to be enshrined in the law so that that's the thing that works everybody.
I know what you mentioned twice. You mentioned leaking twice. I think the Minister is entitled to talk about the legislation that he's bringing before Cabinet if he chooses to do so. And he's not not the only member of government to talk about this too in the lead up to the discussion today at Cabinet. John Barry, if I could turn to you on this, like, the reality now is that prospective employers, when they're weighing up employees, when they're weighing up their choices, they're going to look for this as part of the package, aren't they? So it's not going to be any choice for employers when they can offer it, but to put it on the table.
Morning, Claire. I think the first thing is not all employers object to the concept of remote working, and the pandemic has been a game changer in people's view of this. What this legislation has done, it hasn't introduced a right to request. People have always had the right to request. What it has done, though, it has now introduced a right for an employer to get the employer's discretion and the employer's decision-making evaluated by an independent third party who would not have direct knowledge of the business, and to introduce something which is enforceable. That is a very big difference to the right to request. But, you know, overall, the employers would be of the view that, you know, if it can work, we're happy to look at it. And we also got to remember...
But this is safeguarding against the employers who are not happy to look at it and who will simply, may simply refuse to look at it. This is to copper fasten the employees' rights here.
Well, the employee always had a right to ask. I mean, that's the first principle. The employer has a right to say no, and that right is still there. The difference is that the employer now... employee can now seek for a third party mm-hmm. to adjudicate on the reasonableness of that decision.
And what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, except before, the person could have done that on the Industrial Relations Act. What we see now is that you've brought in a compulsory, legally binding decision-making process rather than going down the voluntary process, which is what this country has built up over the last 50 years, 60 years, as a very successful means of resolving employee-employer disputes.
Is this going to be going on trust, though, that the employer takes the request in good faith?
Well, employers, I think, always will take requests in good faith. And especially, you see, we're talking about small businesses where, you know, these decisions have quite far-reaching consequences rather than large companies where you have maybe 30 or 40 people working in a single room. We're talking about maybe three or four people working in one office and someone from there maybe wanting to work from home, and that may not be practical for everybody else's sake, not just the company's sake. So there are a lot more stakeholders involved possibly for small businesses in this than there would be in the larger businesses.
Yeah, but for many businesses, John, I would imagine there's an advantage to this, isn't there?
Well, there's a lot of cross-covering of work in small businesses. People do not just do one specific job. They will be covering lots of things. They might be covering phones, they might be doing accounts, they may be doing meeting people at reception. There's a range of duties which these people do in small businesses, which would not be the same in large businesses. So they will be potentially adversely affected in a far greater extent than maybe in a larger company. And that is where a concern is, because now I will be saying in my business, well, I actually need that person because they cover reception as well as doing the accounts for me. The person will say, well, my primary job is accounts, so I can do that from home. But I say, well, I also need you to be there. And they say, well, why can't so-and-so do it? They're sitting at the desk and so-and-so may be doing other jobs. So, you know, I think the important thing to see here is that if we are going to go remote working, and a lot of people have no difficulty with the concept, that we look, we recognize that not only is the individual person to take account of, we have to take account of other workers, and we also have to take account of the requirements of the job.
And you think that remote working hasn't worked in all cases?
I'm talking to people now. I mean, I was talking to someone yesterday who's working remotely, and they told me they are going to be online non-stop from 9 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock in the evening, because they all have to book online meetings to meet each other and arrange their day around that. So, you know, and that in reality is actually breaking the law, because they should be getting their lunch breaks. So they're going to be having their lunch whilst chatting to someone online.
But for that employee, then, it would suit them, they're saying to you, to come into the office.
It would suit them. Yes, it would do. And you know, and that's the point. It will do, and it will not suit others.
Louise, do you expect that people will go to the WRC if their request to work is refused, a request to work remotely is refused by the employer? I mean, they're facing into red tape there, and you spoke about the delays that they will face if they take that case.
Yeah, and the hope would be that people won't end up, in the WRC. But that means that the government need to look at issues like the right to disconnect. They need to look at remote working as a recognised and specific form of work, so that, you know, they need to also look at ways to ensure that people get their statutory entitlement to breaks and that they get their statutory entitlement to a limit on their work and week. These are the issues that need to be codified so that employers and workers know exactly what their rights are in this situation, and only in disputes where there is a disagreement will it end up in the WRC. But I think the vast majority of people have seen that remote working actually has worked in many, many cases. There's an awful lot of people who want to keep it. But we shouldn't lose sight as well, Claire, you know, when we talk about remote working, we're not just simply talking about people working from home, because there's an awful lot of people who are living in accommodation that just would not be suitable for remote working. So this can't be a policy coming from government that only works for people with big houses. We also need to see an investment in remote working hubs. And this will be good for our towns and our villages and indeed the suburbs of our cities.
So we'll have people. Is that not part of the plan, though? Do I not see that that's part of the plan, that they're examining locations around the country where those hubs might work?
They are examining, and they have been examining this issue. I've raised it over the last 2 years. I've raised it a number of times, and I've been told at every juncture that they're examining it. But what we actually need to see now is the facilities put in place to make remote working work for everybody. So that's high speed broadband, that's access to remote working hubs, but it's also ensuring that workers have the right to disconnect so that they, when they are not in the office, that they know. I mean, there's a big difference between when it gets to 5, half 5, 6, whenever you're finishing, you turn off your machine, you walk off, you head for the train or the bus or the bike or however you're getting home. Whereas when you're at home, if your home is also your office, the lines can get blurred, and I think that needs to be codified as well for workers and employers, because that's not good for everybody, for anybody, if workers end up burnt out because of this.
And John, if we look at what's happening with inflation, the Examiner this morning on the front page as part of their coverage of this says that commuters who are going back to the office will see a hefty increase in fuel costs, as we know, compared to pre-pandemic times. So if employers don't facilitate this, they could be looking at wage increase demands.
Well, I think employers are going to be facing that anyway, and I don't think that the cost of commuting will be a real major factor in that. Certainly, one would see we would support the promotion for better infrastructure for public transport, and that will certainly address a lot of those type of issues. But again, that's not going to happen overnight. And as I said, the issue is not so much the concept of remote working, it's the practicalities when they're applied on the ground. And that's where the concern is, because, are we going to be governed by national norms? Are we going to be dictated by norms which apply in big organizations when we're a small organization? Because you're going to have some form of commonality of decision-making if we end up in the WRC. And unfortunately, I think companies will end up in the WRC, because there will be people for various reasons who will want to work from home. Mm-hmm. And they will be encouraged to either pursue it, either by their own union, if they're represented as a union in-house, or by even solicitors who will be encouraging people to take claims for this if they are unhappy.
If they're unhappy, they're entitled to go to the WRC under this legislation. Louise, on this one from a listener who says, how can builders, drivers, teachers, lecturers, hotel and restaurant workers work from home? Any such proposals are therefore discriminatory against them. And the point is that, if you are working in a job that you cannot do from home, surely you'll see yourself as being at a disadvantage, because having the ability to work from home, it's seen as a benefit now of employment, isn't it? Of some employments.
Well, that depends on what way you look at it, Claire, because there are as many people who want to get back into the workforce as there are want to remote work. And I think what people want is the hybrid. But, it would be silly of me to sit here and suggest that every single job can be done remotely. It can't. Now, there have been lessons in relation to the type of work that predominates in this jurisdiction in relation to precarious work, low paid work, health and safety conditions, etc. All of that, of course, does need to be looked at. And I think coming out of the pandemic from a workers' rights perspective, we need to look at those areas where the pandemic really shone a light on particularly low pay and precarious work. But there are jobs that are simply not amenable to doing remotely, but that doesn't mean that those jobs are not amenable to being improved in some way, shape or form. And indeed, this afternoon I'll have an opportunity at the Equality Committee to consider a piece of legislation that I've drafted in relation to paid leave for victims and survivors of domestic abuse. And again, this is what has happened during the pandemic, is we now have an opportunity to reimagine the world of work, to reimagine how work is done, how workers are treated, and indeed how employers and workers can work together to ensure that the workplace is a better place and a more equal place for people. And that's, the pandemic has given us the opportunity to have those conversations as well.
Louise O'Reilly from Sinn Féin and John Barry from ISMI, thank you both very much indeed. Breaking news from London, the Met Police have announced that they will investigate a number of events at Downing Street and Whitehall in relation to potential breaches of COVID regulations. They had been saying that they wouldn't up till now, but that position has changed. We'll be discussing the latest on that in just a few minutes.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.